A little, is that Galileo you have on the front there?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, I just talked to Daniel Cooper and he was talking about Galileo.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he was, he talked about the world being round.
You know, there's a whole movement now that is trying to convince everyone the world is flat.
Oh, I know. I have friends who were, yeah. So I have a funny story about that,
Oh,
actually.
do you?
I study climate change due to a fact, Billy talks about it, and I also had another friend kind of explain a lot of it to me. And I went to go to explain the climate thing to them, about how the cold rises, or I'm sorry, heat rises and cold falls. So, whenever we go through a period of hot and cold on this planet, the Earth tilts and the heat kind of, the summer gets warmer and the heat kind of rises and then it tilts the other way and the cold falls down. And, they kind of go in this battle where we have their seasons. And I was trying to explain to them in order for this to happen, the world has to be round. And I don't think they ever actually like looked into this. And so they were just kind of puzzled.
Yeah, it's an interesting movement. There's so much going on now that it's just so strange. I was listening to kind of a UFO exopolitics discussion last night with Andrew Bishago and Corey Good and
Isn't Andrew the one that's the time traveler?
He says he's traveled to Mars supposedly in this jump gate,
I'm familiar with him.
and one of the things he said was in 2016 that he was going to win the presidential election, but I guess that just didn't quite work out. So kind of
Well,
took a little bit away from his story.
I don't think he ever said he was going to win. But I do think, even though I'm not giving him any credibility, but I do remember him saying that he was going to run and that he would be like this main person or,
Oh. Okay, maybe I got that wrong.
That was
Also,
kind of.
Michael Sala was on there and William Tompkins. Those were the two other guys. I don't know if you've heard of the whole William Tompkins thing.
No, I've never heard of them, any of them.
He's well, I think he just passed away recently, but he's about 80 years old and he claimed that he worked for TRW and a lot of the defense contractors and he says that these defense contractors knew all about, the extraterrestrial groups that had contact with our government and that sort of thing. But he's big on the reptilians too, and he talks about the reptilians. And then, oh, Corey Good's story is so outlandish. He said that when he was like, I don't know, in his teens, he joined or was recruited by what they call the Secret Space Program. And then he worked in this secret space program, which is supposed to be real advanced for, I don't know, 20 or 25 years. And then when it was time for him to retire, they used a special technology to age regress him back to a teenager and then travel him back in time to the point where this all happened.
Yeah, I'm
So.
not sure how much of any of that I take as truth,
Right. Hang on just
so
let me pause this just for a second.
okay. Oh, wait, well, all that was live or recorded?
Hey, Donna.
Oh.
So you had to come all the way back? All right, I'm doing a show right now. That's what's so good about doing the pre-recording is you can just pause. Like,
Awesome.
yeah, my wife just came all the way back home. She's heading to Cincinnati. She forgot her phone, so.
Wait, she went to Cincinnati and came back to get her phone?
No, she was heading
Oh.
down there and she drove like 10 minutes and then turned around and had to come back, so.
Wow.
So anyway, okay, we were talking about Corey Good and yeah, so Corey Good was age regressed, he said. 20 years, so he worked 25 years in the secret space program. Then they have this tremendous technology which will regress your age. So he went back to being a teenager, and then they supposedly sent him back in time excuse me, to the
Zunani.
To the, you know, to the time when he was a teenager. It's so convoluted. It's almost insulting. You know,
well, I kind of look at that as nonsense, but that's
But it's popular. I mean, this is where most people are, really.
Well, I was there at one point, and yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But more people are into entertainment than reality. So, or I should say, you know, these imagination things. And they make it so compelling and stuff with the videos, and they just trap you into this.
Oh, they do great production work, don't they?
Yes, great. You know, to be honest with you, what got me into searching for the truth was Loose Change, and I thought that video was amazing about all the evidence and stuff they presented in there.
Was that done by Aaron Russo?
I believe so, yeah. I was in shock. I was like, all right, now the government's got to come out with something to show their side. And people were telling me, no, that's not how it works. And so, yeah, I started to learn things.
Hmm. Do I sound clear to you?
You sound perfect. How do I sound?
I think you're fine. I just have a really cheap ear thing here. So sometimes for me, it's not as clear as it is otherwise should. I think you're fine.
Do you not hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, it's
just not very clear sometimes.
Well, I haven't invested much in this setup here. I have, so it's just.
Well, it tends to sound pretty good on when I listen to it. So
yeah, that's why I haven't changed it. For some reason, it's working. Why? Don't fix it if it's not broken, I guess. So
exactly.
But yeah, so what's going on in the UFO exopolitical community is so bizarre. Have you heard of this Tom DeLonge guy?
No, I really don't dabble in the UFO side of things. Yeah. Even in the Billy Meyer thing, I find it kind of boring.
Really?
Yeah, I got into him for the fact that he was talking about things that I was aware of, like the Civil War and the controversies around, people and the environment.
Solon, let me pause again. Hang on.
Okay.
This must be a very important show.
Because, why is that?
You know when Billy talks about there's always a negative to oppose striving?
On this planet?
Yeah, have you ever heard of that? That's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. That's clear to me.
Okay. Well, that's what I was saying. This must be an important show because we sure are getting a lot of interruptions.
Well, I want to slam the way we do agriculture. So, I mean, I got notes, I got evidence, I got, you know, my experiences.
You mean growing our food? Are we just depleting the soil?
Both. Mm-hmm. They're both related.
Okay.
Are we recording?
Oh, we've been recording, yeah.
Oh. Do you want me just to dive into this? I know you were talking about a whole nother topic. I didn't know if you wanted to finish your thoughts or.
Well, the only thing I was just commenting there with watching that little brief thing on the whole UFO culture and the UFO thing and the exopolitics because. The majority of the world is not going to learn about extraterrestrials from Billy Meyer. They're going to learn about extraterrestrials from this carnival vaudeville circus that's going on. And we're going to have to clean up the mess at some point. At least that's my take on it.
Well, I remember him writing something to the government of Europe, and he was saying that people would search for the truth and they would be led astray. And I kind of feel like that's what's going on. You know, people are trying to find something, and they're you know, they're not able to find the truth because of all this nonsense. And you got to remember that we're also we also are affected by our peers. And you know, I would, you know, show a lot of my peers a lot of this nonsense, and then you would build on it, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you kind of all get deluded.
And people that are going to listen to this show, let me tell you, this is Solon, Skill Solon, if you've ever been on YouTube.
Yes, Skill Solon.
He records a whole bunch of my shows and puts them on YouTube out there. So I think this is just important work that he's doing, and I'm so glad that you could come on the show today and chat a little bit.
Well, I'm happy you have me, honestly. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And to be on, and I'm glad you do this. Honestly, it's really great that you cover a lot of Billy's books, and I love your inputs and whatnot. It's not something that, you know, you typically get, in especially here in the USA. We don't have a center, so you don't have too many people like sharing their ideas or their thoughts. And I love that you do that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that encouragement. It's the one thing that I've learned, I think, is that we all have to bear our responsibility. And sometimes it's more responsibility than we ever thought or realized, if you know what I mean. I had no intention of ever, you know, doing these shows by myself. I only wanted to interview people and read their books and stuff. And when I came across the Meyer information, you know, I could have Michael Horn on the show only so many times, and then I couldn't get, at first I couldn't get anyone from Figu on.
Oh, yeah.
And then now I can get them on occasionally. So, and you know, at first you want to kind of rebel against your circumstances and say, hey, you know, this isn't right. I should be able to have someone to come on to talk about the Meyer material. So I had to say, well, maybe I just have to do it myself, which, you know, I would have never thought that, you know, would come about, but that's where we're at. And then you picked up putting the stuff out on YouTube, and so we're, and people are paying attention, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
People are coming around, and it was so interesting. It's like every month or two, someone will come on and discover the Meyer information, and they'll be like sending me emails, and it's really interesting. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, like there's somebody who says it, and I don't, he calls it the silent revolution, you know, of truth. So, you know, many, Billy has that great saying, you know, a lie can travel around the world, but it's always overcome by the truth. Hopefully I didn't misquote it.
Whoa, that is profound.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's one of the things Daniel was talking about with, what's his name? The scientist here, Galileo.
Yeah.
Yes. Is the fact that he stuck to this. And now look what we are. You know, we know that the world is, you know, circular, or I should say a sphere. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, you know, it was overcome, even though it seems that we're degressing now and starting to head the opposite way. But,
you know, and one of the things I'm concerned about is there is a big movement towards digressing.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways. And one of the things you put out was one of the contact reports on the dangers of these video games. And I never realized the way we're being programmed into violence. And I have to watch myself because I follow this Ultimate Fighting, and I'm trying to, I think it's programming my subconscious in a way that's very unhealthy. So I need to stop doing that.
Oh yeah, I won't ever forget watching a football game and getting extremely happy when I see somebody get hurt or something. And and now, you know, I kind of look at that and I'm like, wow, that wasn't healthy. I remember going to NASCAR races and like the most exciting part, and a lot of people tell you this, is the crashes.
I know.
And so, yeah, I mean, we're aware of this, but we don't see the damage of it. So
no, we don't. And that was contact report 633. It says humans start to act compulsively from listening to these, watching the video games, playing the video games, watching the violent movies, like Steven Seagal. Boy, he's whoa. You know, I mean, my goodness, he breaks people's arms and does horrific stuff. The humans start to compulsively act in regard to torture, hate, guile, murder, and revolution. And people playing these games, they lose their sense of what the effect of reality is. They start to have personality disorders. Mm-hmm. They start to act in terms of guile, which is a sly or a cunning intelligence. They start to be coercive. So they use coercion, which is the practice of persuading someone by using force or threats.
You do that in the games.
Do they do that in the games too?
Okay, so I will say this. I currently do play video games. However, I do it to learn German. And I actually, because I'm a computer programmer, I actually have programs that play the game for me. And I'm typically just sitting there reading. And typically you get on these voice chats and you're listening to them, and sometimes I'm shaking because, you know, they're speaking German and I'm extremely nervous, and just, you know, this is like my emergence, I guess you could say, without being in Germany.
Hmm.
But they are extremely, it's like they don't care about others' feelings. That became extremely evident to me when I started to talk to them about this, you know, these problems that video games bring, and they don't believe such things. They say, oh, this is a great outlet for people who want to rape. They can go into a game and rape. And I'm thinking, what? And I'm like, you know, it's like that, you know, that's like, you know, Grand Theft Auto. And a lot of people will argue with, you know, the fact that that's a good outlet, but you are training yourself to, you know, I want to step back and give like a great example.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was, you know, I used to be in the new age community, you know, and these people are starting to, you know, develop consciously, but in a delusional way, because they think it's like a spirit or something outside of them that's helping them do these things, when it's really just them doing it with, you know, with their thoughts, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I won't ever forget was they would tell us to close our eyes. And, you know, I was going to try to do something like this on the show, but they would tell you to, like, for instance, we'll do ice cream, right? Because mm-hmm. everyone's had ice cream at one point in their life. And, you know, let's just talk about cookies and cream. And inside the cookies and cream, you know, you kind of have like this, you know, you got the milk and you got the sugar, and then you got like this cookie flavor. You know, the cookie flavor I'm talking about, like mm-hmm. Oreo and. And when I start to talk to you about this thing, you should be able to recall memories of this, and you should be able to taste these, and you can, like, you have these senses. I'm probably not doing the greatest job because I'm trying to speed through this, but, and that's basically you recalling a memory from yourself, and also you're putting something back into the subconscious. I mean, everything that you pay attention to, you know, makes its way to this. And it's no different than with games or reading a book or whatnot. You know, you're constantly building this, you know, this thing inside you. Hopefully I'm able to explain this correctly. And I feel like that's kind of what games are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're constantly playing out these motions. And because of that, whenever these things arise in your life, you've already experienced them in a game, and you're going to play it out in reality. Well, go ahead.
The one thing that you said about, you know, people being able to rape in a video game and then mm-hmm. being an outlet, some people argue that's a healthy outlet. No, mm-hmm. what people need to learn is why that activity is bad.
Correct.
Of course not. Give them an outlet for this deviant, degenerate, unhealthy urge. They need to learn why they should not be wanting to do that. So, man, that's ghastly.
Well, I use something extreme like rape. Typically, it's murder. I mean, in video games, it's all murder. You're killing the opposite this, or the opposite faction, the opposite person, shoot them up games. That's all. The entire goal is to kill someone.
Yeah.
I only use rape because it's so extreme, and it'll pull people in. Because there's not really a game where that's the goal. It's like there you can do certain things like this in certain video games. I don't know if it's looked at as rape, though. It might just be looked at as like prostitution.
So in Grand Theft Auto, people, they actually rape?
Well, you can pay for, I used something extreme and maybe I shouldn't have, but you can pay for a prostitute, I believe, and then you would pay them. But sometimes you could beat the prostitute up and get your money back.
Oh, that's so sick.
Exactly. However, people do this. It's the normal thing, and yet you're looking at these prophecies, and they're talking about, you know, people being indifferent to one another, which is something that you've talked about. And just the other day, I was watching a YouTube video, and it was like the five things that these people like survive, you know, on their own but shouldn't have. And one of them was this guy was in a wheelchair, and these people picked him up, and he actually invited them to come over to his house, and he was going to make them a dinner and whatnot. I'm trying to speed through this, but while doing this, the people asked if they could have a beer. I guess he had alcohol on him, and he said no, and they kicked him out of their car because he wouldn't share his beer, which is kind of strange. And they didn't give him his wheelchair, and this guy was crawling in the desert on the road. And he said that two cars passed him and would beat the horn because he was in the middle of the way. Instead of helping him, they were like, you know, like looking at him as a nuisance.
My goodness.
And one woman commented on that. She was like, she's my age, was about 30 years old. And she was saying that, you know, she works with I want to call it mental retardation, but it's what do they call it? Like autism.
Mm-hmm.
She works with patients like that, which, by the way, I'm not calling it autism retardation. So I apologize if it was misconstrued that way, because I know that's very sensitive and that's ignorant. But and she was talking about she works with these people, and she said that her car broke down and she had to start riding her bike. And she said within the last year, people have gotten extremely rude. She said one person threw a slushie on her back while she was driving. And she was just talking about all this stuff. And she said, the world has really gone downhill. And she's like, you know, I don't really ever ask people for anything. You know, she said sometimes people would pick her up and take her, would drive her and whatnot to places, you know, back home from her job. But she's talking about how, you know, people are like almost like trying to run over her and stuff while she's on a bike. They just have no respect or this love for one another.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, maybe it's fairly important that we do this to counteract some of this insanity. And I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you made that contact report available. And that's 633?
Yeah, now that was actually translated by Figu Australia Land Group. So okay. I take no credit for the translation. All I do is put it in an audio file in hopes that people would you know, pay attention to it or listen to it, or mainly read it.
Well, sometimes that's, you know, that makes a big difference. Because with me, sometimes I like to listen rather than read all the time. So, and that really helped me. I might have never even paid any attention in this contact report if you hadn't have done that.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
I love to. I tend to use the stuff to try to listen to German. You were sitting there complaining that no one wants to do interviews and the Figu, and that started reminding myself. I was like, yeah, I wish Figu would get on and speak German with me. It's like pulling teeth, you know. They don't want their stuff translated into English. And I learn in German now. I understand why, or They want to leave it in the German, but they're not a lot. They're not against us translating certain things into English. So,
oh, really? So are they? Are you getting some pushback?
No. You know, there's rules. I think the contact notes we can all translate. I think anything in the books, in terms of the certain page size. I think anything like the Ohm or I know the Geistes Lehre and the Beam are all off. You cannot translate those, and for good reasons. The Ohm actually uses some of the very old German words, so you really need to learn German if you really want to understand that book.
What, the OM?
Yes, sir. The Alfonso Moreau. I think I'm saying it right.
Now they will eventually translate that to English. I hope.
I hope not, but maybe.
You hope not?
Okay, so I should say I'm probably very biased of the English language. After learning German, you can't put a lot of this stuff into English and make sense of it. Now, we can. You can take something great and make it okay, but you can't take something okay and make it great. That doesn't make any sense, does it? The German language, the way it's structured, is... it's just light years above the English language with the way the grammar's set up, the articles, the way you're able to build words. Even in English, I say words, when I translate it to myself, I say words that don't even exist in English. And so I'm like, you know, at this point, I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, I'm kind of destroying, you know, another language by trying to incorporate it into mine. Hope that makes sense.
There's one word that I think kind of falls into that category, and I think we were chatting about that. Gewalt.
Gewalt, yeah.
Yeah, I it's like a brutality above all brutality, a violence above all violence. This, you know, there's like a whole paragraph trying to explain. So there's no English word that conveys the true meaning of that. It's like a brutal execution of elemental might and force.
Oh, yeah.
So,
wow, you remembered it. That's impressive.
Well, I take good notes.
Oh, awesome. Well, notes are powerful in terms of learning.
But in any sense, yeah, I guess there's no way to convey that meaning in English.
No, what we can do is adopt the word in English, which is kind of what I've been doing. Is, for instance, I say a lot of German words to myself, and then sometimes due to this, I'll start speaking German to people, and you know, because I'm in my thoughts, having my own, you know, opinions of myself, and then, you know, you're with people, and you end up speaking German because of it. But I can switch over, but...
Another German word that I think it's really hard to grasp the meaning in English is Wesenheiten.
Oh, Wesenheiten?
Yes.
Yeah, Wesen. Yeah. That's another one I think you say incorrect. Wesen. Now, I actually think we use this in English, and I want to give you an example. So I was talking to I was talking to a woman about a date, or I should say the date experience I had, and she goes, "You shouldn't have done that." And I told her I shouldn't have. Anyhow, she started to say, "Solon, look, you're unique." And I was like, "What do you mean I'm unique?" And she was like, "You're unique." And I was like, "I'm not unique." And she was like, "The nature of you is unique." And she was started to say, like, tiptoe around this word Wesen. And I started, I was like, I think we understand this word, but we use like the word, the nature of something.
Well, what about the word Wesenheiten?
I think it's an adjective, right?
No, the Wesenheiten is the word they use to identify creation and what creation is.
I thought that was Schöpfung.
Schöpfung is creation, but... When they say that creation is a Wesenheiten, they say that it does not use its free will in the determination of its evolution. So the Wesenheiten, it evolves according to these kind of predetermined plan and schedule. Like, for example, the creation expands for 155 trillion years, and then it contracts for 155 trillion years. So, and there's, it could not do anything else but that, where we human beings are vizen, so we have a personality, and we can say, I'm not gonna evolve for the next 10 million years. I'm just gonna be a slug. but the creation can't do that. It won't do that. So I wish I had that handy in my notes. Actually, I could probably find it. But so yeah, you're right, man. These German words, they're profound in their meaning.
Yeah. Of course, we also have things like Gemüt, which we don't even have in English at all. And I think the Germans understand it incorrectly. But
well, the Gemüt is part of our spiritual consciousness that controls our thoughts and feelings. At least that's...
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And it seems to also interact with us as well, you know. But in the German, they understand it as like thoughts and they're not really feelings.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of another thing that's really cool about not being German. And so a lot of people like, you know, like Germans have the upper hand. However, they also understand these things incorrectly. Like the word spirit has a completely different meaning to me than the word Geist, even though they're the same word. However, when I read Geist and Billy's stuff, it has a new meaning to me than the word spirit. Though I'm not delusional, I understand what it is.
So the term Geist form, the spirit form, are you saying that like native speaking German people may have an incorrect perspective?
For instance, if I started to talk about the spirit to you and you were somewhat religious, you would be like, oh yeah, that's that thing that's like outside of us that, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then Billy's like, you know, no, it's here in the what superior collectula and whatnot. Or no, wait, that's the subconscious, right?
No, you got it right. It's in the superior colliculus. Yes.
I'm always nervous I'm going to say something incorrectly, and I'm sure I've done that a lot of times. So that's one of the reasons why I'm always nervous about coming on shows.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't worry about it, man. We'll do our best. We'll correct ourselves later.
Yeah.
Okay, let me think about this. I wanted to Telstock, and I probably pronounced that wrong too.
I don't know what you just said.
The fragment. The
you're talking about the tile Stück, the piece part of creation, right?
Yes. How do you say that?
Well, it has the word tile, I think tile, and then Stück. Stuck. I think, right?
Teilstück.
Now, I also pronounce stuff wrong in German, so that's either correct or incorrect. However, what you said made no sense to me.
Okay, so I'm going to try to speak it more like the way you do, Teilstück.
Teilstück, yeah. So Teil means part, and then Stück is like piece. So it's like a piece part. And this is the cool part about German is the fact that you can throw two words like that together and now it makes sense. It's an actual word where you can't do this in English.
Right.
I could put part piece together and that be one noun. You know what I mean?
So are you at the point now where you could say, sit down and read The Way to Live in German?
Well, I do. I'm currently reading the Geistes Lehre. So I have to know German in order to read the books.
And what's in the book, that Geistenlehre, which I'm not pronouncing correctly, that cannot be, like, you can't talk about that, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, actually. I hope I don't get in any trouble.
Yeah.
And that's also another reason why I think a lot of people are scared to get on, you know, on the radio and whatnot, is because you're not sure what you can talk about and what you can't. Because, to be honest with you, there's lots of things I would like you talk about on your show that you like tiptoe around in terms of understanding. And I'm like constantly like saying it in my head, like what you're trying to say, because I understand it, and like almost having a dialogue with you, which could have an effect. I mean, maybe you can pick it up and understand it. Who knows?
Hmm. That's interesting. I don't know what to say about that. that is a well, you know, there's so much here and so much to learn. And the one thing that I keep learning is that clarifying and repeating my thoughts and nurturing my thoughts, I keep coming to a better and better and clearer understanding of this material. You know, even though I think I know it, I don't. I mean, there's more, and it's, you know, there's, it's creating this really clear picture each time I repeat over it. It's, and sometimes it even seems to flourish and expand, which is very, very interesting.
Well, you know, the Geistes Lehre is like a 30-year course. So, yeah, I mean, there is a lot to learn.
Well, I mean, just in the book, like The Way to Live or The Might of Thoughts, it seems like I could spend 30 years in these books as well.
Oh, yeah. I love The Way to Live. I just the fact that he's like, you know, you must strive. You must, you know, learn. It's hard, but it's rewarding. And you're like, yeah, you know what? It is. And I've had these situations, and I know what you're talking about. And what am I doing? I need to be doing this.
The, you know, I think sometimes our striving is harder than it needs to be. Sometimes if we lose our neutral positive, and that's what I have to struggle with, to maintain my neutrality while I'm striving.
Now, in The Might of the Thought, it does talk about the neutral positive in the way I understand it. It talks about the idea of not saying the word not or no to yourself. Oh. For instance, if you say something like, I am not going to kill, your, I guess, the subconscious picks it up and says, you know, I'm going to kill. It doesn't recognize the word not because it only thinks positively.
Oh, wow, man. That is so important. Please go look that up and find exactly where that text is. Not now. Okay. Maybe we can do a second show on that.
Yeah, I don't know if I got myself in trouble, but all right, I can do that.
Well, that if it's in The Might of Thoughts, then it's fair game, right?
Yes, yes, sir, it is. And I was told this, and so I'm shaking right now. Maybe that's too much. But yeah, of course, these neutral thoughts, I don't think it's understood correctly. But yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I always, I actually spend time trying to memorize certain passages that Billy has written that are very profound to me and very important. And when I do that, I seem to come to a deeper understanding. And one of the things I don't think I've ever memorized anything in a negative way, like you said.
Wait, I do want to say the reason why this is, I know this, is because this was in the Psyche. Do you remember it says, Ich bin krunk? Oh, I'm sorry. It says, I am sick.
Oh, yeah.
And then say, I am not sick, and then it said your subconscious will pick it up as I am sick, is because it doesn't recognize the word not. That's a negative negative word. It's a, what do you say, neglect? Or, no, it's not neglect. Oh, man, I forgot the word. Anyhow, it's a negative word in terms of thought. So we look at like negative and positive as like good and bad. However, good and bad is not neither. It's not really a negative or positive, but in the way that you say things, like, you know, I am not sick. If you tell yourself you're not sick, you're literally telling yourself you are sick because it doesn't recognize this word not. You are the creator. You are not the what you don't want. You are the creator of what you want.
Wow. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Michael Horn does a pretty good job when he says, you know, look, we create all these bad things, but we have the ability to recreate and to make them good. And, you know, if you kind of look at history, you know, we learn things and we learn how bad they are and we ban them. However, what we don't do is clean up.
You know, well, one of the things that people do all the time that I, at least in my feeling, every time I read something like this, like someone will go on Facebook and say how they're sick and all this stuff and pray for me and da da da. And I'm like, oh, I just think that they're setting themselves up for even more suffering. That's just my instinctual feel for that.
There's definitely power in prayer. So I'm not against that. But I am against like praying to a god or to an idol or, you know, 10 gods, as it says in the Gospel of Truth.
But what I'm trying to say is that here's a person that is not only telling themselves that they're sick, but is telling the whole freaking world that they're sick.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, you must also be honest with yourself.
Sure.
But what you can do is find the, you know, I don't know how much of this I want to step on. what you can do is try to find a way to, you know, to the cure of it. Let me give you an example. There was a story of this woman who got caught in a car wreck, and she got stuck in between she couldn't get out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked everyone around her to pray for her to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, this man showed up out of nowhere and like basically was able to like open this car, and then it just vanished. And this is a story that has been told. And that is the power of our thoughts. And that was a collective thing. And that's probably not the greatest example. I want to give one more.
No,
and this kind of relates. I have this whole thing about 603, but this kind of relates to that in a way. But there was a guy, and I forgot his name. He used to go on television a long time ago, and he used to get like the whole audience to say certain things, and he had these seeds in his hand, and he would tell these seeds, he would tell the entire audience and all the little kids that were around him in this specific episode to tell the seeds to grow, and they would just start sprouting right in his hand when everyone had this thoughts about sprouting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's how powerful our thoughts were, that we were able to get these impulses to this seed, and it picked it up and said, it's time to sprout.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at this kind of like what religion does, this is a whole mass of energy that you talk about around the world in this negative form of, you know, this religious energy that we also give the same exact, you know, thing to, but in a huge collective way. I mean, a lot of our planet is religious.
Oh, yes, very much so.
So imagine we have the ability to make this plant sprout from just an audience. And then we have this entire world that, you know, has these thoughts towards a god or a spirit or what have you.
No, I agree what does Billy call it? The we form.
The fear form.
Hmm?
Fear. So in German, the W is a V sound in German.
V form. Oh, okay.
Vier
with an R?
Yes, W-I-R, Vier.
Oh, because you know when they translate it, it's translated into W-E-F-O-R-M.
Oh, the we form. I'm sorry. I don't know it as that. I'm sorry.
Ah, okay. Are we talking about the same thing?
Exactly. Yes, we are. We are. I just know it in the German form and not the English. Sorry.
So maybe that's is that like a transliteration?
Yes, exactly.
So, and it's probably not a real good transliteration. Maybe.
No, it just doesn't make sense to me in English. That's it. That's just my problem. You got to remember, I study this in the German and leave it in the German. So when you talk about it, I don't see it in English sometimes.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of my own problem.
Well, I think when you obviously when you learn the German and delve into the German this far, you get a different perspective, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, tell me more about this different perspective.
Well, so for instance, in German, it's really cool the way that they build the words. There's certain words that we have in English that I don't even know what they mean. And I'll be reading, you know, sometimes I'll read the English in certain things because I can read English faster than I can German.
Sure.
And I'll come up to a word and I'm like, I don't even know what this means. And I'll go to look at the German, and the German will have two words in there mm-hmm. that give me a meaning that I didn't have in English.
Hmm.
And I'm like, okay, like aus Artung, it's like out. It has the word aus in it, which can be like out or from or off. And then art is like, you know, way. And then the tongue is where I guess they say aus Arten, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. Which gives me kind of like this out of place, or this out of, you know, this out of touch almost. It's like a, you know, but we don't translate it. But you kind of have like this view of it in German that in English, you know, unless you knew these words, you wouldn't be able to perceive it.
Wow.
Understand it. And that's kind of why I like German, is because it builds a picture. For instance, the word, there's lots of cool German words. The word glove in German is called Handschuh, which is a hand shoe, which sounded very English when I said it. Yeah. Handschuh.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. So, you know, we put these shoes on our feet, and then we put these shoes on our hands.
Very interesting.
So if you didn't know what a glove was and someone said, put your hand shoes on, and you saw this image of these shoes going on your hand, you would kind of get an idea, okay, I need to put something on my hands.
So interesting. So interesting. So, and I don't pronounce it right, but Ausartung,
mm-hmm.
It's always translated as out of control of the good human nature.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that when you read that in the German and you can dissect the individual parts of the word, you get an impression of being out of place.
Yeah, like out of, yeah. Yeah, but I keep that part English when it, because the fact that we translate it like that, I probably shouldn't have used that word, but I was trying to break it down for you to kind of give you an idea of kind of how I see it.
No, I think that was helpful. I think that was very helpful. A good thing to do.
There's lots of words like this.
I would love for you, with your background and what you've learned so far, to try to break down Wesenheiten.
Well, now that word I didn't see as a noun, but I saw it. Because Heiten, whenever you start adding the word height onto something, I typically look at it as like a ness or you know, in terms of consciousness, you know, when we start saying you got bewusst, which is like aware, and then you got, aware, and then you put ness on it and you got awareness, you know, height, I'm sorry, bewusstsein, height. Oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm sorry. That was a really bad example. No?
That's all right.
Because that's sein. All right, I made a mistake. Anyhow, typically when I see the word height, I typically translate it as ness. And that might just be because of, you know, my understanding of that. And it translates all kinds of different ways, but that's just the first thing I go to. So when you said Wesenheitness, I was like, there's another word after this, right? But I just don't think I understand it. I understand it as Wesen. And so when you say Wesenheit, I'm like, there's another word after this, because to me that sounds like an adjective.
Hmm.
Like when he says, like, Bewusstsein mäßige, when you add the word mäßige to it, it's based, and then it should be based on something. So a word needs to follow right after that.
I shouldn't have said it in the plural form. It's, mm-hmm. I'm looking in the glossary in the Psyche, and the word Wesenheit, die Wesenheit, is a noun. And the definition is an immaterial or material existence form without a self-determining possibility of evolution, in which case, however, this possibility can be given to a certain extent, such as the creation, universal consciousness, or certain energy, stones, water, gases, etc.
Oh, yeah, because all things have a Wesen.
All things have a Wesen. Explain.
Wait, you said incorrect. Okay. All right. So I just want to help you really bad with your German pronunciation.
Okay.
All right. So just say the word that you see and say it with a V and not a W.
Wesen.
Well, okay. So the E, when it's in between a consonant like that, mm-hmm. it becomes an A in English. So read it as a V-A.
Wesen?
That's it. You got it. That's the word.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Huh.
Hopefully that helps that you say it correctly to see it like that.
Well, I'll have to... do you ever go out to the website dict.cc?
No, sir. No.
That will help you with the pronunciation. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay.
If you've never seen this, this may help. There you go. I don't know if you can see the...
Oh, yeah, dick.cc?
Yeah.
that's pretty bad. You're spelling it out to me. Yeah, of course, I use that. I use that.
Okay. Wesenheit...
Yeah, Wesenheit.
Yeah, let's see how they say it.
Wesenheit.
See, they pronounce it with an E.
Wesenheit.
All right, let's see. Maybe I'm I'm human. I make mistakes, which I'm sure means plenty of them. I'm just gonna type in the word Wesen, because height is height. Wesen. Wesen. Yeah, they say Wesen. Wesen.
Wesenheit.
You can hear the A.
Wesenheit.
Oh, wow, that one sounded...
Wesenheit.
Yeah, that did sound like Wesen.
Wesenheit.
Wesen. Okay.
There could be differences in pronunciation. I don't know. I'm just speculating. Maybe in certain areas of the world, they pronounce German words differently even.
They do. I would say typically when you hear this E sound like that, it's an IE. That's typically the long E sound. So this might be an exception to the rule. However, this is my issue with German in general, is that I don't get to hear enough of it. And I've heard it as Wesen. Or Wesen. All right, so... All right, so maybe I'm incorrect about that.
Well, I don't know. There's probably a reason why you heard it or learned it with the A sound, right? I mean, you didn't just make that up.
So typically when you see the E in between things like that, it is this A sound in English. Unless it's certain prefixes, then you would say the E sound that we know in English. But typically in the German language, the E is always is kind of been pushed to an A sound.
No kidding.
But that's not always the case. Like EN, you would say that N sound, Wesen. Or if you say B, like Bewusstsein, you'd say B, Bewusstsein, you'd say the buff. I'm saying this wrong. I probably shouldn't be the best one for speaking German. I get slammed all the time by Germans, but I do know that you're saying the W, and that should be a V. And wow. So I just
thank you. That helps me, and I think that's something I'll work on. I'll work on correcting that.
Well, I need to work on mine as well, I guess, before I come on in here and help you. I don't want to create problems.
Well, this is one of the It's interesting that this comes up. First of all, we've gone off on a complete total tangent because I know you wanted to talk about something else.
Yeah.
This and don't feel bad because this same thing happens to me all the time. So don't. I mean, somehow I think this is a normal. I don't know why. So we'll get to the other stuff that you wanted to talk about. Maybe another day, or just introduce it at the end here. But it's good to have you on and to talk about the German stuff because I don't pay it enough attention. I just focus on trying to get the meaning. And it sounds like when you get right down to it, you can't get the meaning really, really until you dive into the German, right?
Correct, yeah.
Wow.
Right.
So, see, that's a whole perspective change. You know, that I'm going to have to work on that. Wow.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I remember someone telling me this, and I'm like, you know what, you're just biased. You don't know what you're talking about. And like, then I just started to learn. Now, I didn't say this to this person directly, and I was like, you know, okay. And then he would kind of give me his experience, and I'm like, whatever. And then I started to learn it, and I started to become aware. I was like, yeah, the meaning is lost in English.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I agree with Figa. This stuff really shouldn't be translated into any other language except for the source of what it was already written in.
So you're are you of the opinion now that even translating into English might not be a good idea?
I'll just say this, because I'm not against it, because people learn. But I'll say this. I've gotten to the point where when I read other people's translations, I get upset because that is not how I would say it, and that doesn't make any sense to me. And so that's my issue. It's because I know the German just a little bit more than some people who translate it. And I make a big deal about it because of this.
Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. I have a... Let me pause this just for one second here. Sorry about this. We must be doing some important stuff because we're getting a lot of